This is part two of the success call with Les Walden.
Les, for this hit list, you're talking about the phone calls. What about the handwritten notes? What kind of things do you write in there?
You know, they're really short and to the point, because I try to write five a day. And when I say I try to write five, it's literally I try. I may write one day and six the next and three the next, but I try to write five a day. And it's just a quick note. If I know something's gone on in their life, if their child has just done something nice, one of the local high school football teams, a lady I know, her son caught a touchdown pass in the last game of the year. And so I just wrote a quick note, you know, that saw Stan caught a touchdown pass. I know you're a proud mom. Let me know if I can ever do anything for you, Les. And just mailed that out to her. And the note card has Les Walden Real Estate Team on it. And on the back, and, you know, it's got referrals are the highest compliment. You still do those basic business principles. You know, we're branding the business on the front. We're telling them that referrals are the highest compliment we can be paid on the back. But it's what's on the inside, what I write. And I don't want to write a dissertation. People don't want to read the long stuff. They don't have time to read the long stuff. But if you can find something like that, always include it about that particular person. Now, if you don't know anything that's gone on in their life, hey, was thinking about you today. If there's anything I can do to help you, don't hesitate to give me a call. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to pick up the phone and call you that day. It just means that they know you're there and that they know you care. You got to be there, and they got to know you care, and then they're going to start sending people to you. And intermingling that with the phone calls is awesome. It works great.
And the emails that you're sending out to the hit list, these monthly emails, are they more like the personal handwritten note, or is it more of a standardized email?
It's more like the personal handwritten note. Just checking on you, see how things are going. And, of course, on the email, the signature, got my name, Les Walden Real Estate Team, like us on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. It's got all still the basic business principles in there. But what they're keying in on is the fact that I'm checking on them. How are things going? What can I do for you? And a phrase I like to use more than call me if I can help or tell me what I can do for you. Give them more of a call to action than if you need me, call me. Go ahead and tell me what I can do for you. Just go ahead and tell me. So I would encourage you to be careful in your wording, to not just say, call me if you need me. It would be, tell me what I can do for you.
On this hit list, looking at the big picture system, you talk now about monthly contacts. Do you also do things that you're doing for your Target 25, like the four quarterly opportunities to win or the two events? Is the hit list in that program as well?
Yes, sir. They do get the opportunity to win the giveaways. But now, where it starts to differ, we've got the monthly contacts in the Target 25 and the hit list. They get the quarterly opportunities to win something from us. But where it starts to change is we're not taking them out to lunch as frequently. If we've got somebody on the hit list that we think is about ready to move into our Target 25, then we're taking them to lunch, don't get me wrong. But it's not as systemized as the Target 25 group where we know we're getting together with them with face-to-face meetings. This is more when you feel it progressing, then you may move them into having a face-to-face meeting. If you've been able to break through the barrier and become that friend, then all of a sudden you may need to get a face-to-face with that person and go to lunch and just talk about their life and what, you know, what's going on and laugh and cry and whatever it takes to be what a good friend does. And so, but that they don't automatically get the lunches, so to speak, or the coordinated lunch where you may have three or four together. That's where it starts to differ and starts to fall off. Now, the hit list, they also get invited to the Floatapalooza and the Santa Party. They get invited to that too. So really the big difference is the face-to-face meetings.
What about the third category you mentioned, the connectors? Are they receiving everything you have for the people on the hit list?
Yes, sir. They receive everything we do, and then they get something a little bit different than everybody else. And what they get from us is more market knowledge oriented. Some people on my connectors list would be human resources directors. If I know the human resources director at Itron, for instance, which is one of our local industries, and the human resources director at Duke Energy, and I know that Itron is laying off 100 people, I'll probably pick up the phone and call the human resources director and say, hey, Itron's going to lay some people off. If y'all are looking, might be some good pickings there. Now, what I've done is offer that person some market knowledge, not anything that would hurt Itron, but I'm trying to help those people that may be getting laid off, and they appreciate that. Or I may, local politician as a connector. There's a few of them that, yes, are trustworthy, and I will call them, and if I know, you know, some developers looking at a piece of property, you know, I'll ask them, have you heard anything about this? What's going on? What can I do to help? Because if they come in, that's going to mean jobs for our community. That's going to mean improvement for our community. And so I give them the benefit of my knowledge, and then I also give them market numbers. Everybody wants to know how the real estate market is doing. Everybody. But these people use it to help better the community, typically. If I tell a politician that our market is flat, basically flat, when all he's been hearing in the national media is everything's going up or down, that's going to benefit him. And then I explain to him why it benefits him, that real estate is local. It's actually hyper-local. And so if you're watching Brian Williams on the NBC National News, and he's reporting about real estate, that's not necessarily what's happening here. And so they use that to help them in preparing and leading our community in certain directions. So they get the benefit, direct benefit of my market knowledge of what I'm doing all the time.
Les, if we were to look at these three categories, your personal three categories, how many people are in each group? So how many people are in your target 25 right now?
12 to 15 in my target 25.
How about in your hit list?
About 1,000.
And how many in your connectors?
7.
In that list, is that your sphere of influence, or does that also include your past clients? Have you grouped them all together, or are they separate, past clients and sphere of influence?
Basically, the target 25, the hit list, and the connectors, each group contains some of my past clients. You know, I've got past clients in the hit list category. I've got past clients in the target 25 category, and I've got past clients in the connectors category. Doesn't mean if somebody's in the connectors category, you won't do business with them. It just means that's the person that you've possibly said to somebody else, they know everybody. If you want to know somebody, call this person because they know everybody. That's a connector. They can connect you to big, big parts of your market, of your area. So that's why they fit into that category. But past customer clients fit in there. Also, in some instances, what we call closing contact buyers and closing contact sellers fit into those categories as well. I don't have any closing contact buyers or sellers in my target 25. But in my hit list, I do.
What does that mean? Closing contact buyers? What does that mean?
That is, if I have a listing, if Les Walden Real Estate Team has a listing, and Joe Realtor from 123 Realty down the street brings the buyer to the transaction, that's a person that my team has come in contact with through that transaction, but they didn't work with us. And so we get their contact information throughout the transaction, and we start communicating with that person after the transaction's over. So if Joe Realtor sold my listing at 123 Main Street, then I've got a closing contact buyer.
Some people call that a co-op buyer or the co-op seller. So the buyer, the seller on the other side of the transaction. Do you have a separate group for past clients? Do you treat past clients differently, or do they fall into the categories we've been talking about? Do you have anybody that's a past client that you handle in a different way than what we've been talking about?
No, sir. They all fit into those categories. They all fit somewhere into those categories.
Let's talk about your team for a second. You've got four people on your team plus yourself. Could you do a favor for us? Walk down through those titles, those positions, and tell us what each does on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. I am a big proponent of people being specializing in aspects, certain aspects of the real estate industry. So if you're on my team, you're going to take one part of the real estate industry and you're going to be an absolute expert at that part. So the first part of the team is buyer specialists. Of course, by their name, and I'm sure your listeners have heard this many times, they only work with buyers. Their job is to qualify the leads that we have generated financially. The first way they get them qualified. The second way they qualify them is on their motivation. Do they need a property in 60 days or 6 months? That makes a difference in how you work with that person. They also try to find out or qualify them on their motivation for moving. We have people that it's such a beautiful area here, and we're so in love with our area here. We have people that may pass through here driving from New Jersey to Florida on vacation, and they're like, oh, my God, this is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. I've got mountains. I've got lakes. I've got all these great things. And all of a sudden, they want to go look at property. Doesn't mean we won't work with them, but they really don't have a reason to move here versus, say, the guy that was transferred from Raleigh, North Carolina to Seneca, South Carolina with Duke Energy. He's got to have a home. That's his reason for moving. So their job is to take the leads that are generated, qualify them on those fronts, get them into the office, do a buyer counseling session, and then get them out and find the right home for them. Once they get that transaction completely executed, meaning they've shown them the property, they've written the offer, and the offer is fully executed, then those buyer specialists, two of them, working with their own individual leads, turns that file over to our closing coordinator. The closing coordinator then takes the file from when it's pending, during the pending process, so from the day it goes under contract. And in South Carolina, we use attorneys to close real estate transactions until we're sitting at the attorney's table. That person deals with lenders, appraisers, home inspectors, wood infestation inspectors, repairs if any are necessary. They're coordinating all the details of that pending transaction to get us to the closing table smoothly and effectively. And then I have a listing coordinator. The listing coordinator works with me on the listing side of the business. They prepare my pre-listing files. When I go out and list a piece of property, it's my job to get the listing documents fully executed. And when they're fully executed, I turn it over to the listing coordinator. And the listing coordinator then implements our marketing program. They're in charge of communications with our listed clients. They prepare any documentation that's needed to update that client. Really, I don't get pulled back into the listing unless there is an issue with that listing. My job is to go out and convince that potential seller that we're who they need to hire. Once they've hired us, I turn it over to the listing coordinator. So my job on the team then is to go on the listing appointment, convince those people of that, and then in addition to that, to give direction to the team. Where are we going? What's our goal? How are we going to get there? I tell my team all the time, I'm a great leader, not a manager. If I have to manage you, You don't need to be here because I'm not good at it. I want to say this is where we are and paint a very, very clear picture of where we want to be and say, here we go. Let's go. We're all going together. And they do what they do best, whether it's being a buyer specialist, whether it's being a listing coordinator, whether it's being a closing coordinator. They do what they do best to get us there.
The buyer specialist, how have you arranged their compensation?
They get 50% of all transactions, 50% of the commission of all transactions they close, and the team pays all of their expenses, minus I do not pay for their car, and I do not pay for their cell phone. But the team pays their MLS dues, their board dues, those type things. Now, they do have minimum standards. They have to close a minimum of 24 transactions a year, which is kind of a joke to them. they blow through those numbers pretty quickly. But what I did was look at the expense of the team, the fact that I don't want to break even, I want to make money, and say, okay, if you don't do 24 transactions, I can't cover these expenses, or the team can't cover these expenses, and the team be profitable until you hit that number. So if the thing, if they don't hit that number, then they're responsible for those fees and may not be invited to be on the team the next year.
You brought up a good point. We've heard your concept for your business. There's some people out there thinking they might want to pursue it. And so they're going to ask a question. Are you profitable?
Very. Very. Matter of fact, I had a meeting with my accountant last week that we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with some of it, which is a good problem to have. And when I say what to do with some of it, it is American to try to pay as little in taxes as you can. Now, we're not going to do anything to get ourselves in trouble, but it is to our advantage to figure out how to keep as much of that money as we possibly can. And so we were meeting about real estate IRAs and different things that we can do to keep some of those funds rather than having to pay them out to the government. And I'll still pay my fair share. I just want my fair share to be as small as it can be. So right now, even I draw a salary from the company. I don't get paid based on the amount of commissions. If you include, now most people when they give you percentages of expenses versus gross profits, they don't include their own income, okay? The Rainmaker doesn't. But if you include my salary that I draw from the company, my company still makes 51% profit.
So there's 51% profit after you've been paid?
After I've been paid.
That's the net that's coming out the bottom of the company.
Yeah, that's at the bottom, and we're trying to figure out how to keep it now. Yeah, the key is to keep it, right. But it's if you take my salary out, you're looking at our expenses run in the 27 to 28% range. That includes payroll for the support staff. That includes cost, what I term cost of goods sold, which are commissions to other agents, you know, my buyer specialists. That's all my expenses. And so it's a very profitable model. And if you start looking at what most people call true expenses, what are you paying for advertising? What are you, you know, for what I call in my business funnel, the marketing lead generation size, that's only 33% of my business. So my expenses for generating that 33% are, you know, they're smaller.
As a percentage of the gross.
That's right. We're generating 66% off of communicating with people and being their friend. And so that's what allows my bottom line to be so robust and so healthy. That's why when I talk about your business funnel and your relationship lead generation and your marketing lead generation, that's why I call it a healthy business system. It is very healthy because your bottom line is very healthy.
If I understood you correctly, I'm doing the math right. If you put your salary into the profit side of the equation, your net profit is somewhere around 72-73%.
That's correct.
That's phenomenal.
It is. And I'm very proud of that. Very proud of the business model and how efficiently we run that business model. And my support staff, and this is something that maybe some of your listeners want to hear. My support staff, they do draw a salary, but they also are on bonus structures. One bonus is based on improving our gross commission, our GCI. The more transactions we close in a month, year over year, they get a bonus on that. So they're pushing the buyer specialist to go out and generate new transactions. They also get a quarterly bonus based on net profits. Why would I do that? Keeps them from going out and blowing money just to be blowing the money. Because they know that the better the bottom line is, they get a piece of the pie. So I'm taking my support side, the listing coordinator, the closing coordinator, saying, listen, you push the sales side to generate more transactions, and we close 30 transactions in November this year, and we closed 20 last year, you're going to get a bonus on those 10 because you helped us close more transactions.
How have you structured those bonuses? Are they flat amounts per additional transaction, or is it a percentage? How does that work?
On the closing side, the additional closings, it's a flat amount. It's $50 per transaction over on the year-over-year comparison. So using the example I just mentioned, in November of 2012, if we closed 30 transactions, and in November 2011, we closed 20 transactions, there's 10 transactions more, right? So they're going to get a $500 bonus that month. And then on the other side, where it's expense-driven or net profit, and I do that quarterly, we look at the bottom line. I pull a simple P&L. My accountant, CPA, keeps everything where I can see it all the time. He does it through QuickBooks. He didn't like that because CPAs think that's too simple a program because anybody can use it. But he keeps all my stuff on QuickBooks. He has someone come to my office on a weekly basis to update my QuickBooks on my computer so that I can see where we stand. At the end of the quarter, I'll print out a P&L. I'll show that to them, and they get a percentage. They get 3%. Of the net profit. The net profit, that's after my pay, that's after all of our, that's after their expensive pay comes out, everything comes out, the net profit in the business, they get a percentage. Now, if there's no net profit for that quarter, they don't get a bonus.
Do they share the 3% or do they each receive 3%?
They share the 3%.
So they know what's going on in your business. They can do math. They could take the 3% back out, and they know what the profit is for the business. They know how healthy the business is or not.
Right, and I don't mind that. I believe in transparency. I'm the one that I don't have any issues with them saying, well, you're making all the money. Well, I'm bearing all the risk and expense, too. They know that. But what I'm getting the right people on the bus so that when they do what they do and they make this business better, they get to share in that. They don't think I'm keeping it all. They get a piece of it.
Les, why have you been so successful?
I would have told you, if you'd asked me that question like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have told you pure and simply I work harder than everybody else out there. I still work very hard. I love what I do, so to me, it's not really working hard. It's doing something you love. I love helping people, and I'm not going to kid you. I love the adrenaline rush of being able to put transactions together. That is the way I enjoy things. Now, that doesn't mean I don't go on vacations. I do. I travel, and I do other things I love to do as well. But a couple years ago, I told you it was pure and simply hard work. I would tell you today that my success has to do with hard work, but it has to do with caring about other people. I care about the people on my team. I care about our clients. I care about my community. At some point in time in your life, and everybody, in my opinion, will go through this phase, some earlier than others, but everybody will go through this phase in their life. You go from it's all about me to it's all about how I can make my community a better place to live. And I believe my success today, and just to kind of give you, and again, this is a revelation that's hit me, at least to fully understand the revelation in the very recent past, we've already surpassed last year's production level. We've already blown through that number, and we're continuing to go. So I would tell you that it becomes a part of you to, I want to make everything better. I believe at the end of my life, when I have that funeral, nobody in this area is going to walk up to the pulpit and say, that crazy fool sold 4,000 houses in his career. But you know what? 3 years ago, as early as 3 years ago, I would have said, that's what I'm looking for. I want somebody to walk up there and say, nobody sold more houses than this dude. Nobody. But now it's not about that. I want somebody to walk up there and say, you know what? He did help a lot of people. He helped a lot of people in real estate. But he helped our entire community. And that's what I want him to say now.
Les, if you were going to advise a brand new agent just getting in the business, what would you tell them to do first?
Sit down and make your top 25, your target 25, your hit list, and your connectors list. And then start talking to them. And you're not going to them and telling them, trying to, you know, say, you got any referrals? You got any referrals? Who do you know that needs to buy or sell? Who's the next person on your list that needs to buy or sell? Our world doesn't function like that anymore. Matter of fact, our world doesn't like that anymore. You go and get involved in their life. You go get involved in how, what you can do to help them accomplish their dreams. Don't get frustrated. It will take probably 8 to 15 contacts before you even get a chance to get involved in their life. And that could be unique. It needs to be unique contacts. It could be a phone call. It could be a handwritten note. It could be an email. You're trying to get to that face-to-face meeting. Start with who you believe is in your target 25. Those are the people that you believe have your back. If you've made the decision to be a real estate professional, go to those people. Get involved in their lives. They're going to want to help you succeed. Educate them on what they can do while you're getting involved in their life. Then move on to your hit list. Your goal with your hit list, talk to them. Get involved in their life. Some of them, your goal is to take all of them, but some of them you're going to be able to move into your target 25 list. You just want to talk. You're not going to have a ton of money to go out and spend on print advertising or outdoor advertising or all these other things. I mean, even websites. You're not going to have tons of money available to you. Use what you've got, your ability to help people. And if you do that, your business will grow exponentially. Because if you only have 10 in your target 25 and they only know 10 each, which I believe most people out there know more than 10 people, then you've instantly got influence over 100 people. And then if you can influence those 100 and they only know 10 each, you're all of a sudden up to 1,000 people you have influence over. And then if you start communicating with that 1,000 people and they only know 10 each, you can see how it just grows exponentially. And your business will grow with it. Then if you want to start generating 33% of your business out of the marketing lead generation, start looking at avenues to do that through your traditional marketing efforts of outdoor, print, online, direct mail, point of sale, those type things. But if you will get out and you will get involved in other people's lives, they will send you business.
Les, what percentage of your business do you think is coming out of your top 25?
Out of the 66% of our business that comes from the relationship side, now when I say out of our target 25, I'm talking about my target 25 and my team members' target 25. I don't know that I've ever truly looked at it, the exact number, but I would tell you in the neighborhood of probably 30%, 30-35% of our total business, so almost 50% of that side.
That's fantastic. I was just curious if it ended up as more business from that small focused group than the larger group being in your hit list.
Absolutely. Now, remember I told you, we expect out of our target 25 people that exist in that group, we expect 4 to 6 referrals per year, per person. So if you've got 10, I would expect you to do 40 transactions.
Les, do you think that top agent interviews like this one with Mastermind Agent are valuable?
Absolutely. Mike, I think what you've done to move our industry forward, it does several things. One, I think it gives the struggling new agent or the struggling old agent hope that there is somebody out there that is doing well in this business. The other thing it does is it dramatically shortens the learning curve. There are wheels out there that roll very well. Mine is an example, I believe, of one of those wheels, and there are many other examples of those wheels that are rolling very well in today's economy. And if you can glean information from those wheels, if you can, as we used to always hear, don't reinvent the wheel. Well, I ain't going to reinvent it. I just want to steal it and put it on my car, okay? If you can get something from somebody's wheel that's already working, you get it. And then the great thing about an interview like this is your ability, Mike, to get that information packaged and get it out. You're not buying a plane ticket. You're not driving 400 miles if you couldn't afford the plane ticket. You're not getting a hotel room. You don't have those major expenses to get this information. I've had people pay me to come sit in my office and watch what I do. Well, Mike, you're making it available to people. You just cut off an income source for me. No, I'm just kidding. But it's how I grew in this industry, interviews like this. And then once I got involved in the interviews like this, I would go to some training. But the first step was getting this and getting it on a regular basis. It charges you back up. I mean, let's really be honest with each other, Mike. And when we say you're going to get slapped in the face in this business many times, the difference between the successful agent or the successful person and the non-successful is the one that's willing to get back up and keep going. Now, this is where what you're doing comes in handy. It's a lot easier to get back up when you got somebody in your corner telling you to get up. Think about the boxer that got knocked down. What's his ring manager screaming from the corner? Get up. Get up, get up. And then once he starts screaming, get your hands up, block that off, throw a left jab. Well, Mike, that's what you're doing. You're screaming from the corner saying, get up, get up. And then you're giving them tools to get back in the game, to get back in the bout. Get your hands up, block that left hook he's throwing. Throw a right jab when he throws that. You're giving them those tools, and it is wonderful. It is a wonderful thing that you're doing. There have been other people that have done this. You know that as well as I know that. And it's how a lot of successful agents out there have grown their business, a lot. So I commend you for picking up the baton and moving it forward.
Les, if you were to look in your crystal ball, where do you see the market going in the next few years?
As a nation, I see the market. We're starting to thin inventory. I think there's enough reports out there saying that a lot of the bank-owned and foreclosure market that's being sold. Now, of course, you always hear that there's some shadow inventory out there, homes that are about to be foreclosed on. I think we are thinning inventory. And if you look at the most basic economic principle, of supply and demand. If your supply goes down, it doesn't matter if your demand actually changes at all. But if the supply goes down, it drives your pricing up. Now, if we could get so lucky as for our supply of inventory to sell goes down and demand actually goes up a little bit, well, then that makes the pricing go up even quicker. But I see over the next 4 to 6 years a stabilizing of the real estate market. I see a gradual increase in values over that time. I also see a gradual increase in the number of sales over that time as people continue, as they're already doing, but continue to become more comfortable with where the market is and what the economy as a whole is doing. Why do I think it's going to be slow? Well, I think there's two factors that are going to make it slow. One is the consumer. I don't believe the consumer, the real estate consumer, is going to allow values to just jump quickly by leaps and bounds. They remember what happened. They remember the meltdown. They remember the issues in the real estate industry. So I believe they're not going to allow it to happen. But consumers have been known to lose their minds before. Let's use Black Friday as an example. They line up at doors of businesses at 4 a.m. and they run over each other to get in to get to these items. Okay? But if the consumer loses their mind, I can guarantee you there's an entity that will not lose their mind, and that's the federal government. And if the federal government sees values jumping too quickly, they don't want to stymie the market. They don't want to shut the market down. But if they see values jumping too quickly, they will raise interest rates to slow down what's happening. And so I think over a 4 to 6 year period, a stabilizing of the number of transactions and the values, and it's starting to climb on a very, very slow trajectory.
What's the objective for you and your business over the next 3 to 5 years?
To continue to help more people in our community. I also have the opportunity, thanks to people like you, Mike, to help other people across the country with sharing what has worked for me and my systems and philosophies. So to continue to help people across the country to grow personally and professionally. And we want to continue to grow our business through smart growth and really getting better daily on a relationship lead generation side. I have a saying that I repeat to my team all the time, and it goes to getting better every day, and it is an amateur practices until they get something right. A professional practices until they can't get it wrong. And so we're practicing every day on our team to get to the point of where on our relationship lead generation side of our business, we can't get it wrong. We want to be there for everybody. We want to be their friends. We want to get involved in their lives. And we want to be so good at it that we do it right every single day.
Well, Les, you're doing something right. Your high-profit relationship lead generation model is a will worth copying. Your revelation has benefited every aspect of your life, your friends, your business, and your community. Building deep relationships with your best friends while simultaneously developing deep income streams in your business is a winning formula. I think you'll have plenty of friends to call next time your car breaks down on the side of the highway. Thank you again for being our top agent of the month. And join us next call when we talk to an agent who generates 80% of her business by repeat and referrals from past clients and sphere of influence, and sold 182 homes last year. Find out who she is on the next Success Call.
You've been listening to Success Calls on the Mastermind Agent Network, where top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.